Welcome to the, how many annual?
Fourth.
This is number four.
Number five.
Welcome to the fifth annual Japa retreat. How many of you have been here for all five retreats? How many are here for the first time? Okay. Those of you that are here for the first time, I'm sure you have high expectations. What's going to happen to your japa while here and afterwards? Because many devotees have shared major transformation from both quality and quantity from these japa retreats. So there's reason to have some nice expectations. I thought that I'd like to begin in a different way than I have in the past. Inspired to share or establish a theme, because there's many different things that we can do when we're together, and different ways to facilitate or can facilitate the time spent together. But I was thinking this time a theme. And before I go into the theme, let me just share something else with you, which is these japa retreats were historically not something that was done during Prabhupada's time. Doesn't mean it's a no-no because it wasn't done at Prabhupada's time. Just we weren't there yet. But two, quietly, two visionary, exploratory, inspirational, brahminical devotees quietly went after Kartik when everybody left to Varsana and conducted japa retreats for a number of years. It wasn't advertised, it was off the radar screen, nobody knew it was happening. And that was Bhurijan Prabhu and Satyanandana Swami. They just quietly went, and people that they were in some association with, some relationship with, they invited them, would you like to come? Oh yes, let's come. And so for several years it evolved and evolved quietly. I didn't even know until like several years into it was even happening. And now it's a very popular type of event. Of course, lots of other things are now popular types of events, like Kirtan Mela. It wasn't something that we did during Prabhupada's time. We did things, you know, extended kirtans, or when Prabhupada was ill, he authorized something we had never done before, that we had 24-hour kirtan while his health was bad. Isn't that interesting? What to do when your spiritual master's health, founder Acharya Diskan's health is not well, have 24-hour kirtan. With the prayer, in other words, the offering, the sankalpa, the intention that Krishna would be pleased and Krishna would, and he gave us a particular prayer. The prayer was, my dear Lord Krishna, or our dear Lord Krishna. A petition. No, good thing. If you so desire, please restore the health of our spiritual master so that he can continue to guide us in our spiritual lives and guide the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That was the Sankalpa along with the 24-hour kirtan. So I'm going to be speaking this morning about Sankalpa, like significantly. But that same personality, Bhurijan Prabhu, who was in, he's a Brahminical person. A Brahminical person who I admire very much. And one of the things that he did in his course of his devotional service was he was a teacher. And all of you are teachers, at least those of you that have families, you're teaching. And if you don't have a family, in different ways we're teaching. This is what we do as devotees. Vaishnava devotees become teachers by example. Whether you like it or not, you're teaching by example. So be a good example and teach by example. So he was involved with the Gurukul in Vrindavan for some time. And quietly, in his style, he spent about a decade writing one book called The Art of Teaching. And he researched and researched and researched and researched in a very deep and devotional way, like his personality, and wrote a book, The Art of Teaching. And then he taught that art of teaching in the BIAG and attended his course. And he shared with us when he was teaching that one of the persons he interviewed was a well-known educator in Oxford University or something like that. And the professor kind of poo-pooed his attempt to write a book on the art of teaching because he said it's so inspirational and subjective, how can you write a book about it? But he wrote a book about it anyway because he's a teacher. And he's an inspired teacher and he was interested in inspiring others. So I took the course. And to this day, I remember what he taught in the course, and I'll tell you why. Because he taught the same thing every day for 30 days. And I'm going to share it with you. And it's going to connect with this retreat. Watch. In 30 different ways, he shared with us. And each day was a little different. 30 different ways for 1 month. If you want, if you're a teacher, so you're a parent, you're a friend, you're a whatever it is, bhakti bhiksha leader, bhakti shastra teacher, or discover yourself teacher, or just like a, you know, a Vaishnava. If you want to be effective in that role, he taught us, there should be maximized, explicit, educational objective. And we went back and forwards and up and down and inside and outside of what that meant. Explicit educational objective. Sankalpa. Intention, objective. And explicit. And we went over this like for a week. Explicit. Not like vague. I want to be a better devotee. Okay. In what ways would you like to be explicit? So, I'm going to, there will be a drum roll before I do it, but I'm going to state my intention as your facilitator, following the art of teaching principle that I learned from Bhurijan Prabhu. And I invite you to listen carefully as we proceed how this explicit educational objective fits in with everything that we do all day long today. To connect each thing with the objective, and it's something that I learned from Srila Prabhupada that's with me still. When you clearly define a goal, same point. When you clearly define a goal, it's very easy to take steps to reach the goal. Conversely, if you don't have a very clearly defined goal, good luck getting there. Life gets scattered and splayed out and confusing and complex and troubling. But if you have, so what's the goal of life? You know, that question people never ask, but they're supposed to, when you've got the human form of life. What's the purpose of human existence? You know what I mean. One of the slides that I have in the presentations is somebody with their back to you, that's us. Over on this side is a big rock, and it shows a child still within the womb. And over there is another big rock that shows bones of a dead person. And in between is a space that's called life. But what goes in that space? What goes in between birth and death? What's the purpose? How can you chant? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? What's the meaning? What's the goal of life? What are we supposed to do with this thing called life? What goes in there? If you don't have an idea, don't have a clear idea, good luck fulfilling the purpose of life. It'll be chaotic. Buffeted by the winds of time and the modes of nature and karma and other people's karma and events, and whoa, you get seasick. So while we're here at the Japa retreat, I'll try, Krishna permitting, I'll try to stay focused on this explicit educational objective as the purpose of this retreat, at least for me, as your facilitator. Try, as you hear things, I'm inviting and encouraging, listen to those in connection with the theme. And I invite you afterwards, listen to the recording, because many things will be said that are details and details, and they all embellish and help the theme. You don't have to do that, but listen attentively, see the connection, and then take that connection, you know, whatever it is that touches your heart and inspires you, bring it inside. And it will hopefully help you achieve the purpose of doing that. It'll help you achieve the purpose of why you're here, why we are here together. Both, we say simply, both quality and quantity of chanting the holy name. Specifically, this is a japa retreat. We'll have kirtan, but it's a japa retreat. There's other retreats that can be holy name retreat or kirtan retreat or kirtan deva or some things like that. This is a japa retreat specifically. So, drum roll. I'm trying to make it really easy for all of you, so I can focus. Permanently, write it down in your, those of you who have pens and papers and notebooks. Permanently enhance your relationship with the Holy Name. Permanently. It starts with now, then now, the next moment, permanently enhance your relationship with the Holy Name. How? This is some point. How? With intention, or desire, or sankalpa. To do so, to establish sambandha jnana, to establish a relationship with Krishna and further develop abhideya, act within that relationship up to the full stage of unrestricted love for Krishna, that kind of relationship, loving relationship with Krishna. And his holy name. Because relationship with Krishna isn't any different than relationship with the holy name. Because the holy name and Krishna aren't any different. They're the same. We say that. And then part of the way to realize that is to act with that knowledge, and then you realize that the name and Krishna, your relationship with the name and your relationship with Krishna are not different. Just some anecdotal things I'll share. This past weekend was New York Granth Yatra. In fact, every year we continue to have this retreat at this time. 1 week before the New York Granth Yatra. So two scenes from New York Granth Yatra right now in my mind. One is, there's a Harinam party in New York. It's growing so robustly. We purchased an ashram for them. We didn't have a place for everybody to fit, so we purchased. Did you hear about that? Harinam ashram. They now have 18 people. We just bought it in May. There's 18 people living there. And Madhava was visiting for 3 weeks. Just going on in Harinam. People were inviting him, oh, come to our yoga studio. He said, no, I'm here for Harinam at Union Square. If you want to get involved in the Harinam, come on over. We're having a party on Union Square every day. So I came to the Granth Yatra and I wanted to show my respect to the devotees. And I have this very interesting, very warm relationship with Madhava. We haven't really even interacted so much. We just kind of connect. He's just such a nice devotee. So I stood right in front of this like big crowd, maybe 100 people dancing. It went on for hours. It was fantastic. I stood right in front of him. His brow was furrowed. He was in absorption and chanting. You know how he takes one melody and just chants one melody. It's not musical entertainment. It's absorption in the holy name. And then he opened his eyes. His eyes were closed, just totally absorbed, intent. And his face lit up like a 1,000-watt light bulb. Just, the connection. Just, because I hadn't been able to even to come and, say Hari Bol. It was our Hari Bol. Didn't even have to say anything. It was so nice. With Krishna at the center, the holy name. And then the relationship with another devotee with Krishna at the center. That's Krishna consciousness. That's where we're headed. Ideally, hopefully. If our intention is that, if our intention is like the structure of what we're doing, to share this, stay with the structure of what we're doing. There's like so many things to get distracted by. Try not to get distracted. Stay with the program and with this intention, and magic will happen. Then there's another sharing. For the first time in like 5 or 6 years, there was no rain predicted on Granth Yatra Day. Because in New York, for the past number of years, it's been rain. And sometimes it's been torrential rain. You had to shut down the whole thing. No rain. There were so many people in the park. There's so many people on Fifth Avenue and in the park. It was, wow! Ooh. And the question-answer booth. Some of you may know Prabhupada disciple Yogeshwara Prabhu. He is a fantastic personality. And he said, son has to go to the airport and I have to leave at 3 o'clock. He can do from 2 to 3, sure. He hadn't done this in a long time. I came back at 3 o'clock because when the Swami was supposed to take his place, he kept talking. He was so absorbed. I went over and, you know, 15 minutes later, he said, "You okay, Shore? What about you? Had to kick it?" He said, "My son went already to the airport by himself. He saw it was too much having fun." It's so blissful. And, you know, I was running around doing my service at Ratha-yatra. So I took the last stretch. So, you know, the sun was starting to, it wasn't so warm. It was nice weather, 80 degrees. And anyway, so there's this nice session. Skip a lot of the details. At the end, so we're packing up, we're taking the chairs away, and pulling the tents down, you know, wrapping up the, taking up the trash and all that stuff. So one Jewish lady, not gray hair, but white hair, she's, you know, an older lady, came and she was sitting right in the front during the whole question and answer session with, you know, New Yorkers asking New York questions, you know, in your face kind of confrontational, but, you know, some nice questions. And she said, "My name is so-and-so, and I'm from the Jewish tradition, and I'd like to know if in your religious teachings you have some rules that you're supposed to follow." So I said, "Sure." And here's the four regular principles, here's what they mean, and of course there's many others. And she said, "I was so captured by the message that you kept repeating about relationship, that fits in with this relationship." She said, in Judaism, it's the laws of God and following the laws of God. So I teach Judaism to a group on Saturday. That's their Sabbath. And we do the this, we do the that, this and that, this and that. The things, you know, the rituals, the rules, the prayers, the, you know, like we do. But there's no discussion at all about relationship with God. And then I responded by saying exactly what our spiritual master said. Religion means laws given by God. She nodded, yes. And a religious person is one who follows the laws given by God. She said, yes. But you were speaking about a relationship. And it was very attractive because we don't hear that. You know, can I find out something more about that so that I can then teach it in my class on Saturday? I said, wow, this is Prabhupada's, you know, backdoor, you know, method of getting people attracted to bhakti. And then they can take it into their own tradition and enrich their tradition. So I said, yeah, there's books. The books have been packed up. I'm teaching a class on Tuesday at 26nd Avenue. Please come by. She didn't make it. But I should have gotten her name. I was thinking afterwards, boy, I could send her a book and then she could teach it to her class on Saturday. Bhakti. There's even a term like that in our language of our scripture. She thought, maybe she said some name, and it's like, but it's not exactly, it's not the same. So if there isn't a term, language is symbols. Symbols represent something. There isn't even a concept. Capture that. It's just laws and following the laws. And you get, so what do you get? You get punya. And what do you get from punya? You get prosperity. Yay, prosperity. In this life and the next. You're the same. This is, tradition is different, but the principle is the same. So why are we here? What is our explicit educational objective? Permanently enhance your relationship with the Holy Name. So, strive while here, and then take it home with you to connect. Every experience that you have, I'll give some examples. Every experience that you have while at the retreat, This is the explicit part. Every experience that you have connected with the theme, enhancing permanently your relationship with the Holy Name. Some teachings or some messages or some inspiration that comes to you. Fantastic. Connect it with the theme of the retreat. Every mantra that you chant, strive. And if you didn't do it the previous mantra, do it this one. If you didn't do it this one, do it the next one. Strive to connect the chanting of the mantra with the theme. Or the explicit educational objective. What's that? Permanently enhance your relationship with the Holy Name. You're investing in that relationship. And that's what relationships, how relationships grow. You invest in the relationship. There's you, and there's Krishna. And we've been out to lunch. Like, checked out for a long time. Long lunch. Big siesta after big lunch. And hardly have we even, we're beginning to awaken. So invest in the relationship, mantra by mantra. And some service you may perform. You know, go cut vegetables, or clean the floor, or sing in the kirtan, or take care of your kids, or whatever it is. Connect that service with permanently enhancing your relationship with the Holy Name. I'm inviting that as a theme. So I'll give two examples. You know, an up one and a down one. Supposing you have some very nice realization, like especially those of you that are new at this, you know, at a retreat, you'll find, for example, chanting together with the devotees is so easy. In New York, because I would just spend two and a half weeks there, for me that's like a major stretch of time. And there's one Chinese girl that comes to the program, and she's kind of like really Americanized Chinese girl. And she came to Memorial Weekend retreat. She was kind of nervous, I don't know, maybe too intense for me. You know, like so many people, and but you know, she's adventuresome, so she went. And she shared like so enthusiastically, it was so easy to chant. I mean, I chanted 14 rounds and I was up for Mangalarti, and I never get up in the morning, and it's so difficult for me. The most I chanted was 12. It was just, it was easy. Just with all the devotees and chanting, it was very expressive about how easy it was. And we've had this experience at chapter retreats, isn't it? I remember the first one that we had. That when it came to sharing at the end, one lady said, I want to share with you what happened. You know, I've never had a bead bag on my hand. I don't know how to chant on beads. I got a lap child. And I came just because my husband wanted to come. So I came. And it was time for the 64-round day. My child was asleep on my lap, so I thought, hey, I'll chant. Someone showed her how to chant. She chanted 16 rounds. She thought, wow, that was easy. Maybe I'll chant another 16 rounds. She chanted another 16 rounds. She thought, wow, that was easy. Maybe I'll chant another 16 rounds. Then her child woke up and it was over. Those of you that are mothers, you know all about it. But she was so happy. And there's so many examples. So, supposing you have one of those, whatever it is, a wow experience, what do you do with that? Don't like hold it in your hand, because it'll just evaporate. You'll see. Connect it with the explicit educational objective. How can this, at least ask the question, how can this help to permanently enhance my relationship with the Holy Name? It will, because any spiritual advancement is permanent. But put your consciousness behind that truth and reality. Yeah? Consciously connect whatever experience, whatever message, whatever service, whatever, everything, connect with that. Or go the other direction. Supposing it's like a little bit later, I don't know, maybe you had too big of a lunch or too big of a breakfast and you're like groggy and unable to focus and mechanical and dry and struggling. Suppose it's one of those. Some people are nodding, yeah, I know what that one is. Okay, so what do? Same thing. There's a relationship that you have with the Holy Name. And it can be an impetus that in a faithful to the Holy Name manner, because Krishna is your best friend, you even more feelingly call out to Krishna. You'll see as we go along today how those challenges are very good as impetuses to take further shelter of Krishna. Permanently enhance your relationship with the Holy Name. Okay, so I'll try to end in 15 or 20 minutes so we have some time for questions. There's different devotees in different stages of their spiritual life present. Some very new, some are very senior devotees, some are several years practicing Krishna consciousness, looking to go further in your Krishna consciousness, specifically further in your chanting. So we have our different expectations or aspirations. Many devotees have shared when I interact with them, when I'm visiting here in Seattle and in Portland, how the benefit, how they have benefited from the chanting, different ways. Many have said, you know, it's how I began chanting 16 rounds, and I've been chanting 16 rounds since then. It wasn't just like a spike and it went back to flat again. It helped them stay. Just, you know, the jump start did it. And then, of course, the association, continued association of devotees. What I'm saying here is retreats mean different things. This event means different things for different people. That's all I'm saying here. And our expectation is slightly different. But so there are elements that make a retreat a retreat. Now, in all traditions of the world, there is a place, there's a function for what we're doing. And commonly, not always, but commonly it's longer. This is like mini. When there was, without elaborating, it's best if it's longer. Because, you know, it takes a while for the mind that's in high gear, chasing after all the complexities of fast-paced life in our society today, to like, you know, detoxify a little bit, slow down a little bit, and unwind a little bit. So it's, you know, it's better if it's longer. But if this is short. But it's retreat indicates you're on the front lines, kind of like all these military pictures up here. You're on the front lines, and you retreat. What's the purpose of the retreat? Not like I lose. It's regather, refocus, gain strength, gain a strategy, and then you go forward in unison for military kind of retreat. So this is a spiritual retreat. I was thinking of one of the examples that Prabhupada gave of a snake and a mouse. A mouse field mouse makes a hole in the ground. And the snake comes along, finds the hole in the ground, goes into the hole in the ground, eats the mouse, and lives in the hole in the ground. Prabhupada said that's what Vaishnavas do. People spend their time and energy creating things. Like this, you know, this was a military base, World War II military base. Look around and you see what all the things are. So the government spent a bunch of money to, you know, protect the people of Northwest USA through this military base. And then the war was over. So now it's a Japa retreat center. Here we are, you know, with facilities for staying and a nice room and so forth. We're paying for it, that's okay. You know, it's just, we don't have to build one, just use it for Krishna. And conveniently, there's no cell phone reception here. And no internet. And there's no home to go home to and get involved with stuff. Those of you that are housewives and, you know, family men also do things here and there. It's like, we don't have to do that. We can't do that. You may be like addicted to doing that. The mind is going to do those things, but leave those things, this retreat means leave those things behind. You're going to hear some more, but hopefully I'll finish. So, Prima Trumini can take you through some little exercises. This morning? Yeah. Okay. So, it's two parts. Leave those things behind, you know, for 2 days. Try your best, although the mind will want to go to those things. Don't go there. Fantastic. And then go forward into, that's the, you know, the preparing to go forward. The go forward is transformation. Prabhupada describes this, that a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. That's an example of transformation. So we're the caterpillar wishing to become a butterfly. Now I'm sure that scientists have tried their best to show how the DNA of a caterpillar results in their becoming a butterfly. I don't know that for a fact, I can just imagine. Now they can earn a livelihood experimenting with that for a whole life. How a caterpillar becomes a butterfly by studying DNA. Prabhupada expresses that whatever the DNA is doing, he expresses that the mind's intention, the caterpillar is crawling and he wants to fly. The DNA doesn't create that intention. You follow the point? It's essential one gets that body of that caterpillar that can become a butterfly because there's some intention. And for us, you know, the intention to go, to transform to a struggling, whatever, you know, beginner. Or a person struggling with material existence, material energy. Daivyeshu gunamayi mamamaya dharatyaya. To go beyond that. So the function of the mind, the function of intention. So connect that to our explicit educational objectives with this retreat. Where do you want to go in your relationship with Krishna? If you don't ask yourself that question, good luck. Ask yourself the question. What would you like your relationship with Krishna to be? So-so? Or vibrant and strong and, you know, carrying, you know, with you all the time, carrying you through all the ups and downs of life. So in your, we're going to invite you to write, literally to write your sankalpa. And it may be something short term. I wish to chant 64 rounds tomorrow, or I wish to something. chant better, you know, so it's not, that's a little thing. But whatever, so whether it's short-term, intermediate, keep the big picture. There's a nice saying in one of the presentations that I make, and I can't remember, Alan Taufer or something like that says it. The little steps that we make will take us in the right direction if we're very, if we bear in mind the bigger picture. It makes it very easy to know whether to go left or right, or whatever the details are that we have to make decisions about in our lives. If we know where we want to go, what kind of relationship do you want with Krishna? Step by step, step by step. It's about your relationship with Krishna, and it may be about your relationship with others. We're going to hear about that also today. But ultimately, it's about your relationship with Krishna. It's our human form of life being fulfilled with intention, if we know what the intention is to be. Last point is this term, I'm sure you've heard it, Sharanagati. Sharana means to surrender. Surrender to Krishna. Sharanagati is the process of surrendering. Going to the stage of surrender. That's us. We're not surrendered. We're striving to become surrendered. And in the next session that I teach, I'll show you an image on the screen over here. But now I'll just describe the image so in your mind you can hold the image. This is Ram's Leela. And Vibhishan wants to surrender to Ram. So Ram is standing with Lakshman by his side, and Hanuman and Sugriva, and they're on top of a mountain, and hovering in the air, I think, as he has his power to fly in the air. Vibhishan is approaching Ram with folded palms, and behind him are the four ministers who join him. Vibhishan had it with his beloved brother. He was following the dharma of honoring the elder brother. But when it got to the point where the elder brother was just incorrigible, he wouldn't follow the principle of dharma. He vies, just give Sita back to Ram and it's over. No, because he was too attached to his lusty desire. Now that was specifically, you know, the beauty of Sita, but we can take it further of the intention of a non-devotee, demoniac intention of being the enjoyer of Krishna's energy. And if we don't, that's the unwholesome association that we're accustomed to. The world is filled with it. You know, tiny little Ravanas and Radhikashipus. Demoniac tendency is abundant. And supposing someone wants to leave that, and they want to take shelter of Krishna and Rama, that's our mantra. When Vibhishan is approaching, Ram, the ideal king, turned to his ministers. Well, he's Ram, he knows what to do. But he consulted his ministers, what do you think? Prabhupada did this, he would ask his disciples, what do you think? And then he would say, he was training us. So Ram asked, what should I do? Should I accept Vibhishan? Each according to their position, they spoke. Sugriva spoke first. I don't trust him. He's always suspicious. Sugriva. He didn't even trust Ram when he first saw Ram. So, I don't trust him. He's got some motivation. There's something going on here. Better watch out. And then others and others, without the detail. When it came to Hanuman, he was silent. Humble, wise advisor, Hanuman. Hey, we do have a cell phone signal. Look at that. I did don't Okay. If you have a phone, turn it off. Okay. So, please don't speak inside. So, Hanuman spoke very, very simply. He said, just by seeing the countenance, this is a minister, by seeing the countenance of Vibhishan and hearing the sound of his voice, I can understand there's nothing to fear. He wants to surrender to Rama. Then next, he said, he may have some motivation. He may be thinking, Ravana is going to lose and I'll become the next king. He may have some motivation. That's okay. He wants to surrender to Ram, and so he should be accepted. And then Ram said, this very famous passage, I mean, you hear it quoted, this is where it's spoken. I declare it, please listen very clearly and carefully, one who even once surrenders to me sincerely, I commit, I will protect them forever. I'll just like surrender once. Surrender more than once, but surrender in principle. So the commentators, different acharyas express like this, I'll do it quickly because of time. The four ministers accompanying Vibhishan represent aspects of surrender. Note takers, listen carefully. The recording will pick it up anyways. Two are in relation to the one surrendering. Two are in relation to the one being surrendered unto. The one who is surrendering, akinchanat tvam. Tvam means having the quality of. Akinchanat. No material shelter. He had shelter. He left it. He really, even when he was there, he didn't see that as shelter. It was just duty. His shelter was wrong. Vibhishan was in, you know, bad company. And he knew it was bad company. He left the bad company for the surrender to Ram. Like Queen Kunti uses the same term twice in her prayers. Akinchana gochara. So, a kinship is one who has no material shelter. And one who has material shelter, she says, such a person cannot feelingly call out the Hare Krishna Mahamantra or call out for Krishna's shelter. Cannot. You can do it mechanically, but feelingly? Because when it's done feelingly, Krishna hears the feeling, not just the calling. We'll hear some more as we go on today. No material shelter. Akinchanatvam. And then it's flip side. It's the same thing in reverse. But where there is ananya, gati, tvam. Again, tvam means that having the quality of. Ananya, gati. No other goal. Krishna, you are my only shelter. I have no other shelter. You know, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Same idea. Krishna, you are my only shelter. Even when he was with Ravan, Vibhishan had no other shelter. Ravan wasn't his shelter. Religious principle was his shelter. But religious principle takes subordination to the one principle of surrender. And if I can't surrender, you leave the situation to surrender. Ananya gati tvam. One gati, a goal or position of safety and protection and well-being, and ultimately it's connecting all things with that one thing. Yes? Just as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, the position of the surrendered soul is where there's only one position. Krishna Ekasharana. That's it. According to Rupa Goswami's teachings, that one is the basis of all other good qualities. Without that one, you don't have other good qualities. You have something temporary that looks like it, but it's the imitation, now you see it, now you don't, kind of quality. So that's what it takes, Sharanagati, to take shelter. No material shelter, Krishna, you're my only shelter. And then there's two qualities that are indicative of the qualified person to take shelter of. And the Sanskrit term for the first is saralata. Saralata means simplicity. Vibhishan wants to surrender unto me. Not like he didn't know what was up his sleeve. You know, what his agenda was. He knew in his heart of hearts he wanted to surrender to Ram. There was some condition or some motivation or whatever. He wanted to surrender unto Ram. What Saralata means Ram accepts anyone. He accepts bears and monkeys and squirrels and demons and, you know, you name it, in his service, if they simply want to surrender and serve him. Simplicity. Krishna will see what our intention is, you know, not where we've come from. You may come from, you know, a very high position. That has its problems. You may come from a very low position. That has its problems. But the high position is pride. And we'll hear some more about that as we go along today. But Krishna sees our intention. So what is important for us is our intention. Yes, not where you've been, but your intention. Where you would like to go, what your relationship you would like to have with Krishna. You know, aside from the esoteric thing, just like the basic position, start with the basic position of his full shelter and nothing else. The something else's connect with that one thing. If I do something else and something else, whatever the duties are I do and relationships that I have and, you know, stuff that makes up life, connect it to that one thing. Krishna sees that intention. His quality is the quality of simplicity. He sees the intention, he accepts the intention. And the other is Shakti. He has the power to give protection. He gave protection to Vibhishan, and Ravan was conquered. And Vibhishan became king. We can go beyond that, but that's the essence of the role of Sharanagati in the going to the position of taking shelter of Krishna and establishing that relationship with Krishna and his holy name, or the relationship with his holy name. That's what we're here for. And one last thing. Well, yeah, I'll say it, and then I'll show you the picture after, you know, the next session. So, when chanting, this is, you know, an example. There's one example out of you. Find your own, if you like, in the course of being here. Permanently enhancing your relationship with the holy name. So one thing is chanting. Just like chanting is, you know, you do something you do. But then the name is personal. This is personal sharing. Before Krishna Janmashtami this past year, as every year, was Balaram's Jayanti, his appearance day. So, on Balaram's appearance day, I was reading Krishna book about the sections that are from Krishna's pastimes, and Balaram's pastimes. And in the early portion of Krishna book, Prabhupada writes about Balaram, in order to be successful in spiritual life, you require strength. Not physical strength, but spiritual strength. And spiritual strength comes from Balaram or Sankarsana. So somehow that went in. And it was really still there. It really went in. And so I started that day, and every day, including this morning, every day since then, when chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare part, O Balaram, please give me the strength necessary to carry out my service. So it's not just the name, but the person who is the source of strength to carry out our service. We need strength to carry out our service. And the more strength you get, this is something that I found, the more service you get, and the more difficult it gets to do it. It's always like, you know, more than what you can do. You know what I mean? Those that have been practicing for some time know what I mean. It's always more than what we can do. So you need strength. You need shelter to get that strength. You need the person, Balaram, to give the spiritual strength to carry out your service. Or whatever that is. So that was nice. And then there's the other half of the mantra, Hare Krishna part. So Krishna means all attractive. Oh, my dear Lord Krishna, the all attractive, please attract me. I who am distracted, please attract me. And then, of course, Hare, that's the internal potency. We're feeling, without approaching Radha, or invocative is Radhe, but our mantra is Hare, indicating Hara, the internal potency. She who takes away all other attractions and gives us just the one attraction, being in this relationship with Krishna, where we're attracted to Him and getting the strength to carry out our service from Him. That's the mantra. And then I visited Houston Temple shortly after that. And you know the room where I stay? There's that picture. And I'll show you the picture later, just so to refresh my. So in the lower left corner, there's Krishna sitting on a rock, and next to him there's Balaram sitting on another rock, and then underneath a big tree, and Krishna is holding his flute and he's looking at you. Balaram is over here with his arm around a cow looking at Krishna. It's beautiful. It's a pushcart painting. Then this big tree, shade tree, and you know, they've got little, like ornaments by their feet, and you know, lots of nice detail. And then over to this side, there's some sunlight and cows and cowherd boys and more trees in the background. And so you don't see me in the temple in Houston, that's why, because I'm in this front of this picture, like my altar or something. There is, you know, Krishna, please attract me. Lord, you're the all attractive. Please carry my attraction to you, the all attractive. Balaram, please give me the strength to carry out this ton load of service that I am being entrusted to do on behalf of Krishna. And it's ecstatic, because it's the person, that the name is Krishna and Balaram. And so not just calling the name, but calling the person for service and attraction and strength to be effective and successful in spiritual life. Without which, where are we going to put them? We get crushed by the material energy, because we won't be in the internal potency, we'll be in the default position, the external energy. So there's some sharing, and I've gone past my time. So if you have some questions, hold them. Hopefully we'll have some time a little bit later. I'd like to invite you to do the next session. It's connected, you'll see, hopefully. Can you take this over here? Yeah. Yeah. You gotta press the button. No, it's on the side. Press it, it becomes green. Yep.
So I think we could really short, I won't speak too much so that there's a little time for exercise. But just to connect everything, I'll speak for a few minutes. So Marge was speaking about teaching by example and spoke about educational objective and was thinking. One of the things about education, as Marshall has said, the purpose really is transformation. And for that reason, when you're getting educated, one of the things we have is practical. So my role usually in these collaborations is to assist in some way to integrate the messages that Mara speaks to some practical application. So this transformation very much requires application. And just recently, I just finished Bhakti Shastra, we were doing Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaks in the end, so Krishna completes speaking the whole Bhagavad Gita. And in text 72, he asks a question to Arjuna. Arjuna, did you hear carefully? And did you capture what I said? And then he indicates, if you really captured what I said, then the effect must be that your illusion and ignorance must be gone. And Arjuna replied in the next verse, yes, Krishna, Master Moha, and Smriti Lodhama says, that yes, my illusion is gone, and I'm situated now in my proper position. And he says, now I'm properly situated, and I'm determined to act. And he says, Kalishri Vachanam Kala. So the information that Krishna gave to Arjuna, to the Bhagavad Gita, it comes from Arjuna. And part of transformation means that we've been heard and we're ready to act on it. And otherwise, that doesn't mean anything, all the information that we get. So one of the themes that Mara set for the retreat is to permanently enhance our relationship with Krishna. And he asked us to connect every experience with this particular theme. And he'll set some further theme in the second class, so I'm going to introduce that right now. Is whatever we actually do improperly in this world is actually because of our dissatisfaction in our relationship with Krishna. That's connecting the theme here. To see everything connected to the theme I said in relationship with Krishna. And one of the things we do when we are dissatisfied and frustrated, is that we complain and we criticize others. That's something we do when we are not feeling full in our relationship with Krishna. And we're going to sing a song in the beginning of the next session, Gurudev's song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One of the things Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes there is Sakale Samana Kori Desakati Devo Nata Jatayata Sabe to Gaigo Hari Namasuke Aparada Mabihata. So he says that if you don't regard Sakale Samana, all the different three entities, or at least it is a positive, when we regard all the living entities properly, that is when actually the chant will remain properly. That is a requirement. However, when we are criticizing and complaining and being disrespectful, it blocks us from chanting properly and entering more deeply. And also connecting to this, what Maharaj was saying, he was speaking about surrender. And he said the two aspects of the one surrendering is no material shelter and Krishna being the only shelter. So when we are complaining, criticizing, it's almost like that forms our shelter because we don't see the Krishna connection of why Krishna is orchestrating certain things in our life. So we take shelter, we feel good about criticizing others. It forms a material shelter, it's a form of that. And Krishna, he sees the essence, Sarvatama, and he sees our intention. So our intention then in our heart is not so much about seeing Krishna connection and glorifying Krishna and trying to find a one name for our purification, but then our mind is absorbed in something else. And Krishna sees that also. So normally we do like a sankalpa in our writing a sankalpa session, but so this time I wanted to do it something a little differently. I want to invite you all, of course, to make a sankalpa, but also to take a vow, actually, during this just 2.5 days that we're together, to actually make a vow to not complain or criticize anyone. Because this is one of the things that will actually permanently enhance the relationship with Krishna. And the inspiration for this also, for me, comes from Vrijan Prabhu. That many years ago, I heard how during the Kartik month, you know, all of us make some vows during the Kartik, okay, I will not be sweet, so I will try to chant one hour, so something like that, you know, I'll wake up this time, and I will read so many pages. So, that's how Vrijan Prabhu was considering what vow we should take for Kartik, and one of the devotees said, well, we take all these different vows every year. Why not this year try something different? Take a vow not to criticize anyone for one whole month. And he thought it was a nice challenge. And he took up that vow. And then he said, he's very humbly, that, you know, when I took that vow, I realized that it would last for more than an hour. And of course, it was exaggerated and it was humility. But the thing is, actually, when we do take that vow, one thing we realize is that how much we do that, how much we actually do that. And he's saying, so one of the things, his first realization was, okay, I was just unconsciously unaware of this whole thing. And now I became conscious of this whole thing of how I have this incompetence in this area. And I really took it out and then resuming it and doing it and doing it. This is something that can permanently enhance the relationship with Krishna. So just to qualify what is criticism and what is not criticism. What is criticism is that you just go on blah 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 and you're talking to someone and you're just talking and then suddenly you will say something about someone. It's very subtle sometimes. You don't need to openly criticize, but we'll put it online somewhere. That's actually criticism. And this whole criticism makes us feel good in some way, you know, by putting down the other person's form of envy. So what is criticism is that don't just say things, you know, that you don't want in your life to someone who cannot do anything about it. And so the whole mood is not wanting to address the problem, but just to, you know, just state it. And you're just stating it to someone, and sometimes, you know, it's very casual, and sometimes it's not so casual. But the whole thing is behind the mood is not that, okay, I want I want a solution for my problem. That's my goal. But not the opinion of the people who said this is dead and it's there. And go to a person who can do nothing about it. Or maybe talk to a person who can do something about it, or really it's not what you have to address this. So, what is complaining is really that we focus our consciousness on what we don't want, and we say that to a person who can do nothing about it. But what is not a complaint is actually going to a person who can actually address it, and they're sharing our heart with the purpose for being helped, and they're sticking to the facts, and they're not just, and it's also not complaining when we say something, we can say all the things in a very positive way of, okay, I wish, this was there, and maybe what is the way that we can do this? That's good. That's the solution space we have to talk about, not the problem space. So there are really three things. The first thing I would address you is, all of you have some paper. If somebody doesn't have paper, you can borrow it. So the first thing you do is just write your sankalpa for the retreat, and also make a very firm determination that at least for 2.5 days, I'm not going to complain. This is the field of, those who work in the psychology profession, if there's that if you want to cause some habits, that if you do it for 21 days, actually it becomes part of you. So we're actually just trying it for 2.5 days. But we realize that we want to do it. But then you go back and you try to do it for 21 days. And you listen, start over. And the kind of day you can stay without criticizing and complaining, it may become actually part of you, and you would permanently enhance your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing. The second thing is because the mind is very powerful, just by telling the mind that you don't need it, you're not going to listen. So what we request all of you to do is, hopefully it's more difficult, hopefully you want to go big enough for this, but write down whatever complaints and problems you have right now that are attaching your attention. Just write them down on a paper. We're going to have a little box here. And we request you to put all your complaints in that. It's a complaint box. And don't worry, you're not going to look at it. So you can write whatever you want. And this will actually help your mind, stay at peace. Okay, I've written it down on paper. And we will be very generous. If you don't want, at the end of the retreat, you can take for something in practice if you want. So we're just putting that up aside for now. So your mind doesn't have to be bothered at least for 2.5 days. So please do that, and those of you who don't want to take the complaints back and criticism back, you can just burn them in the fire of non-awareness, and they're gone forever, hopefully. And the third thing is, I'm going to ask each of you to repeat our partner for the entire retreat. And this should be a partner that you're comfortable kind of sharing your heart with a little bit, confiding in. It may not be like only your best friend, but just somebody you can share with. So what I would request for you to do with your partner is every morning, and then during lunch break, and in the evening before you rest, you can ask each other, how are you doing with this sankalpa? Particularly the sankalpa of not criticizing anyone. So it's just kind of helping each other keep track. Because we learn also that from humans, other humans. So it's nice to have that connection. Not on your own, but you're trying to apply this along with another devotee. And you'll get empathy, you'll get support, you'll get everything. So right now you can write your sankalpa for the retreat, and then you can write for Charles Perkins.
Thank you.